Open your holy Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, and then look over at chapter 2, because we're in Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to be dealing with the first part of a subject this morning I've titled Fashion, Degrading Femininity. And there's two ways that fashion degrades femininity. It turns women into cheap prostitutes. In the days of the Bible, it would turn them into rich prostitutes. But in our days, it turns them into cheap prostitutes, and that is sad. I tell you what, that's really sad. Another way it degrades women is by turning them into a man, and a woman that is masculine is no longer womanly, and she's degraded from what she was before. So let's talk about how fashion degrades such a wonderful, queenly creation as woman. Ephesians 2 verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But praise God, in His mercy, He saved us. Praise God, He filled you with the Holy Spirit. He gave you a new way to walk. He gave you new desires. And I'm going to tell you, you were obedient to God. And just like the Ephesians, you are not walking according to the course of this world anymore. I hope. We all have different degrees of holiness. The Corinthians were walking as men, though they were sanctified. But they were not practically sanctified. The Ephesians, they have obeyed the gospel. They've obeyed the promises and warnings, and they have come out from the world. And what we want to understand in these last days is God wants all His people to come out from among the world and be separate, be different, be peculiar, and be a royal priesthood that He's called you to be. Let's pray. Holy God, we do pray for understanding this morning. We thank You for the Holy Bible, Father. Lord, I thank You for those You've gathered in the house of the Lord on Your day today. And I do ask, Father, You just quicken our minds, Lord. We thank You, Father, for Your goodness. Renew us this morning, Father. We love You. Help us to obey and not think the way of the world. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want you to know today that Satan has an idol. Notice he's the god of this world. The God that the world worships and follows, whether they know Him or not, by name. And I want you to see that Satan has a goddess. And, of course, it's a false goddess. But just like he will later use the great whore of Revelation, he uses this false goddess right now. And he uses it to control the masses. And this goddess is named Fashion. And it's very simple. The love of money is the root of all evil. He sets up about five corporations that he has ruling the world right now, ruling the airways. He is the prince of the power of the air. And all the money is funneled into these corporations. And basically, they control the fashions of the world. And their desire is, of course, to destroy the family for whatever reason. And to pervert man. And we see that in the beginning God made them male and female, and it is Satan's desire to pervert man and woman into some type of androgynous alien creation that is perverted and not of God. And families cannot stand strong. They cannot watch over their children when a woman's not a woman and a man's not a man. So we need to listen up this morning and understand that there is an idol in the land today. And I'm going to tell you something. This idol is in Baptist churches across this country. We have women right now that are serving this idol. And the excuse they give for serving this idol is the same one they gave back in the days of Jeremiah. They said to Jeremiah the prophet when they were making cakes and burning incense to the Queen of Heaven, They said, hey, we have our husband's permission. And they got in old Jeremiah's face and they said, you have nothing to say about this matter because our husbands have given us permission to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. Let me say unto you today that there is another queen. She is a goddess. It is the goddess of fashion. And all across this country, we have Baptist women telling preachers that, hey, leave me alone. My husband has given me the right to serve fashion over this Bible. He has given me permission. But I'm going to tell you, your husband doesn't have a right to give you permission to commit idolatry. Your husband does not have a right to give you permission to deny God's word in any area. Do you understand that? It is the truth. And women will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and you better believe men will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and preachers will be judged for not calling attention to the worship of this idol in our churches today. Now, nobody makes a statue and says, this is my idol that I'm going to bow down unto, the goddess of fashion. But you know what? In one way, they do make idols because they're all over posters and pictures and video images and they worship these things. They put them around their house. So, you know what? We're close to just outright idolatry. But Jesus talked about a form of idolatry that comes by what you serve, what you give attention to, what you give heed to. I want you to notice Luke 16. Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. There are only two choices. Either the goddess fashion, as she works through Cosmopolitan or whatever it is, Dillard's department store, wherever the goddess of fashion is, you will either obey her or you will obey the God of this Bible. Or you will either despise the God of this Bible and give more credence to the goddess fashion, or you will obey and submit yourselves to this book and you will serve God. There is not an in-between. Do you understand that today? You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God in fashion. You understand? You better just decide right now. And say, I don't care what Dillard's does. I don't care what the department store down the road does. I don't care because they're all run by homosexuals anyway. I'm not saying you can't find something to wear sometime over there, but I'm telling you, you better go as a Christian in obedience unto God, saying, I will serve God first. He tells me how to dress. You know what? This goddess fashion, what a terrible goddess she is. She changes her mind every few weeks. She's like that woman over there in the book of Proverbs, that strange woman. Her ways are unknowable. You know this goddess fashion? She has her Bibles, she has her prophets, and she has her preachers. But God's clear. Ephesians 4, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Never before has there been a world where Satan could control the hearts of men like he can control it today. If there was ever a time to walk not as the other Gentiles walk, it's in this last generation before Jesus comes. They walk in the vanity of their mind, and I want you to notice the world's fashions are vanity. They really are. They're not beautiful. I don't know who. These models must be put on the cover of these magazines for homosexual women because they're not for men. I don't like how they're dressed. I put aside the immodesty, the way they cut the clothes, the way the clothes work. There's something wrong about it. Just like that music, you know, when Duran Duran came out and all of that crazy MTV music. Who is that for? It's not for me. It's the homosexual control of music. The homosexual control of fashion. It's not even pretty. It's perverted looking. It's vanity. I hate to see women walking around cut off square looking like a man. And at the same time, immodest at the same time. So you got an immodest boy. And you got to wonder about some men that allow their wives to walk around like that. Why do you want your wife to dress like a boy? And why do you wear a pink shirt? So we got to ask questions like this in the last days. Why do you want your wife to look like a boy? That's not in my sermon. I'm just throwing that out this morning. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. For the fashion of this world passeth away. All right, well, we better not make it a god, right? It passes away. James 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now, what this means is there's going to be times when you're going to have to tell the world, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to dance for you like a little monkey on a chain. No, I'm not going to follow your ways because they go against my God in this Bible. And the world's not going to like you. And the world's going to say, if you were my friend, you would jump when I say jump. You get yourself down to the department store and do what I tell you to do. But a Christian woman that loves God and is filled with His Spirit is going to say, no, I've got another master. And I don't care if you don't like me because I want to be pleasing to my Lord. Modesty Matters tells us that Nancy Lee DeMoss, who has many good things to say, praise God for her, one of the few on the radio that actually has some substance. Nancy Lee DeMoss has written a great book called The Look. And in this book, she contrasts what the world says about how we should dress and what the Bible says. And as often the case, they are diametrically opposed to one another. Do you see that? You can't have both as your master. You actually cannot say, I'm a fashionable Christian woman. You cannot do that. They are opposed one to another. If you are a fashionable Christian woman, you're in disobedience to God. Now, some of these old preachers will admit that there are times when fashion will tell you something that is reasonable. So I'm not telling you to go out and purposely try to be as peculiar as you can. But I am telling you, follow God. And there is no way you can follow the fashions of this world and say, I'm a fashionable... You cannot do it. You can be a beautiful woman, but the fashions of this world are in conflict with God, especially today. And the world says you should dress for people to notice you. The Bible says we are to dress to please God and to glorify Him. The world tells us that the purpose of clothing is to uncover and to reveal. The Bible says the purpose of clothing is to cover and to conceal. We are not to dress like the women of the world, but we are to be transformed. I am sad to say that too many times when you see a group of girls standing around, there is very little difference in dress between those who profess to know Christ and those who don't. We were shocked on Friday night to see so many women coming downtown in their pajamas, their lingerie. What in the world? It's like the devil just turned up the volume somehow or another. And we realized, Lasciviousness in the City, some new movie that's come out. All the girls were flocking there so they could look like those prostitutes inside that movie. It was an amazing thing. It is a horrible thing. God forbid. But many of those women say, I'm a believer in Christ. And I'm jumping because fashion, the goddess fashion has called me down here. Called me to the theater. We know what the Bible says about the last days. Let's go back to right before the devil launched his last days attack. Let's go back to before the 20th century began. Just right before the 20th century began. Let's go back and see some of the preachers were noticing that some changes were starting to occur. Talmage, a great preacher in Social Dynamite sermon, that's actually a collection of sermons in 1887, says, the goddess fashion has set up her throne in this country. And at the sound of the timbrels, we are all expected to fall down and worship. The goddess of fashion has become a rival of the Lord of heaven and earth. Inordinate fashion is distraction to public worship. Fashion makes idiotic the intellect. You will have to choose between the goddess of fashion and the Christian God. He laid it out on the line right there at the beginning. Friend, I'm telling you, when you're over 100 years later since Talmage uttered those words, when the Bible said perilous times shall come, you better seriously apply what this man said back in the late 1800s. He goes on in another sermon. It says, God thought womanly attire of enough importance to have it discussed in the Bible. In Deuteronomy 22, 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Timothy 2, 1 Peter 3. Just in proportion as the morals of a country or an age are depressed, is that law defied. In other words, if you want to know how bad things are, just judge it on the basis of whether or not women and men mingle clothes together. Whether or not there is a distinction. To the degree that the distinction is erased, the perversions in the land will be, according to Talmage. I believe he's right. For they are certainly commingled today in ways that are not right. And we certainly live in an age of perversion like never before. Show me the fashion plates of any country from the time of the deluge to this, and I will tell you the exact state of public morals. Bloomerism in this country years ago seemed about to break down this divine law. But there was enough good in American society to beat back the indecency. I want you to notice what the devil does. He does not really know what he can get away with. He tried to introduce pants, bloomerism, and people laughed to such a degree they weren't ready for it. Do you understand that? People said, no, that is shameful. And even the feminists said, you know what? You're going to break down some things in men you don't want to break down. The only thing that keeps us from being brutalized is that men honor us and cherish us and put us on a pedestal. If you walk around in men's clothing, he's going to look at you like one of the boys. In other words, they warn the next generation of feminists to be careful. And just like the NIV when they tried to bring this gender neutral thing, Americans said, no, we're not ready for that, see. And they had to back off. See, the devil tries to introduce it. Then when he finds out there's too much pressure, he backs off and works somewhere else. And then he tries it again the next generation. Well, that's what he did with bloomerism. So Talmage was happy that it got beaten down in his century. He goes on to say, my text sanctions fashion. Indeed, it sets a fashion. There is a divinely ordered dissimilarity between men and women's clothes that must be forever observed. Have you ever thought about that? People say, are you in fashion? Yes, I'm in fashion. I'm in God's fashion. And that's what's important. You better make sure that you follow God's fashion before you follow what's down there at Dillard's. You understand that? Because God has a lot to say about fashion. And you better follow what He says about it no matter what they do in this world today. All right? The New York Times talks about another sermon by Talmage here in 1886. New York Times says, Mr. Talmage, preaching on Isaiah 3 and the curse of dress, said the curse of dress fell on men as well as women. For woman's extravagance at keeping abreast of fashion was the cause of the temporal and eternal damnation of great numbers of men. Boy, that's strong, isn't it? You know what these guys thought? Y'all listen to me. You know what they thought? They thought that women following fashion so perverted the children when they see mama not following what the local church establishes through the Word of God, and they see the rebellion in mama and how much mama loves the world, no matter what she says with her lips, they watch what she wears, see? Because you're communicating, you're saying something to your children. It's not just what comes out of your lips, it's what you put on. That's a statement, that's a language in itself. Clothes are a language. And when they see mama not listening to what the preacher's saying, not listening to what God says about fashion, they say, aha, I get this. I see what this game's all about. It's about rebellion. And so these preachers understood that souls were lost. People would not get saved. People would have temporal judgments all based upon this following of fashion. Oh, Mr. Talmage could not understand, and I can't understand it either. But Mr. Talmage could not understand what induced women to see how near they could go in dress to the verge of indecency. Isn't that ridiculous? Women say, well, this isn't totally naked, is it? Well, look, it doesn't exactly look like a prostitute. It just kind of does. I don't get it. What's the thrill? The thrill is an enticing man. Having somebody turn around and whistle at you. But see, if you are that type of girl that wants somebody to whistle at you, you like catching that eye. You like a man having a little bit of trouble turning his head from you. If you're that type of girl, you need a higher calling in life. You understand that? You need to get on to some more important things. The world would say you have low self-esteem, see. I think the point here is we need to honor God and realize God's called you to some higher things than this. The style of dress reminded Mr. Talmadge of the prevalent style of theater advertising. He never went to the theater himself, but to judge from the pictures on the fences, enough was to be seen. The theaters themselves were cursed by the fashionable idiocy. In other words, what we're seeing here is Talmadge said, you know what? I know why the women are dressing this way. They get it from these movie stars, these pictures of the movie star. Well, not much has changed, has it? The only thing that's changed is these, quote, movie stars are able to put their pictures in so many, they have so much more power to influence than they had just by putting up on fences and walls in the days of Talmadge. Now we've got television, we've got all types of magazines and glossy cover everywhere you go, and struggles to keep up a showy wardrobe for the sake of fashion were ruining more people than all other causes combined. As in the last great day, people would have to account for what they wore as well as for what they were. Mr. Talmadge prayed that reform might soon come. That's something to keep in mind. There is a judgment coming. Talmadge says, what will become of this godless disciple of fashion? Her manners are an outrage upon decency. I'm going to tell you, we're called to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, not a disciple of fashion. Spurgeon gets in on it. He was a preacher around the same time. Spurgeon says, London gets their fashion straight from Paris. Paris gets their fashion straight from hell. What does he mean? He means the God of this world controls the fashion industry. Well, friend, if Spurgeon, who is a very wise man, could say the God of this world controls the fashion industry and she who serves fashion serves Satan, what do you think the state of things is like today? If you want to serve fashion, you serve Satan. And that's all there is to it. Okay? Because fashion is going to say one thing, God says another. See? God says cover it, fashion says don't cover it. The royal path of life says no heathen god or goddess, and they say this in 1882, no heathen god or goddess has ever had more zealous devotees than fashion. Fashion rules the world, and a tyrannical mistress she is. If she fancies comparative nakedness for winter, she speaks and it is done. I mean, we've been downtown preaching and saw downtown on the streets in winter when we're in jackets and we're cold and they're walking around in pajamas. I mean, I've never seen it. Why do they suffer like that? Because fashion told them to. And being the simple-minded women that they are, they want to do whatever fashion says to do. They're pulled around by their nose. They're not very wise women. The example of a fashionable woman, what is it but a breath of poison to the young? Why is that? It's because she's communicating. She might as well tell them every day when she gets up, children, never do what the Bible says, but always do what the world says to do. But listen now, don't do it with your mouth, but by your actions. She communicates every day, always follow the world. Being fashionable is more important than being holy. That's what she's saying. What kind of example is that? It's a horrible example to children, isn't it? You know what? There's a rebellion against mamas today. And it's somewhat of a good rebellion. You've got children all around the country saying, I'm not going to do what mama does. I'm going to be more modest and holy. And mama looks and says, you're out of fashion. You can't walk around like that. But all the men are saying, wow, how graceful and beautiful. Wow, you look beautiful. But the women are saying, you can't walk around like that. The clothes are too big. Look at that. You need some squares and some stripes and you need it to be tight, you know. But the men are saying, hey, I like how she's dressed. She looks beautiful. What's the problem here? We've got to disconnect, see, what the world, through fashion and their homosexuals, says looks pretty is not pretty. And to go follow what fashion says is to be a bad example to your children. Whoever heard of a fashionable woman, says the Royal Path of Life? Whoever heard of a fashionable woman's child exhibiting any virtue or power of mind? You want to save your children? Let me tell you one most important thing. You want your child to grow up and be great for God? Let me tell you one of the most important things you can do right now. Denounce the goddess fashion and say, I will not follow the world, and I will start dressing like a modest Christian woman. And I'm going to tell you, you would not believe the influence it would have on your children. If you love freedom more than slavery, never bow your knee to the goddess fashion. There is everything that is ridiculous in trying to ape fashion. Well, it seems the best, wisest Christians of earlier ages said it's ridiculous, it's idiocy, it's a bad example, you'll destroy your children. Spurgeon said the phrase, you must be in fashion, is the utterance of weak-headed mortals. These great men of God said, well, you women just don't have much sense. And you men that have to be in fashion, when it goes against what God says, that's just a sign of the fact that you're foolish. You're not wise. And the Bible says, deceivers shall wax worse and worse. So if they were deceiving a bunch of simple-minded, foolish people in the late 1800s, what do you think's happening in the 21st century? I'll show you what's happening. It is a $180 billion industry. That's almost more than the drug racket. The average American views 3,000 ads every day. Advertising is the primary purpose of mass media. And it sells values. It preaches conformity to its dictates. A lot of people say, why did Eve ever even talk to that serpent? Why would she even listen to him? And these same people sit in front of the airwaves and listen to the ads, scan through magazines, watch television. Who do you think's running? Who do you think is in control of these companies, these magazines, these ads? And what is he telling you? He's telling you, if you were smart, if you were a smart woman, you would dress this way. If you were a smart woman, this is what you would do. ABC News says celebrities have become our role models. Dr. S.M. Davis, in The Language of the Christian's Clothing, says, referring to an article in April 22, 2001, the article is, ever since television first hit the airwaves, and what's Satan the prince of? Power of the air. Ever since television first hit the airwaves, it has acted as a conduit for trend-setting styles, brought to us by the way of primetime landscape. In I Love Lucy, Lucille Ball cast the American housewife in a fashionable light with her pretty house dresses. And other TV homemakers followed suit. But when Mary Tyler Moore on the Dick Van Dyke Show just a decade later, she did something no woman on TV had ever done. She wore pants. The result was a stampede for capris. What is he saying? What's this article saying? The article is saying that whatever TV does, people follow. That fashion is controlled by the television, especially primetime television. Now, the great preachers of the late 19th century said, foolish people follow this stupidity. What does this say about our world today? Jesus says, would there be faith on earth? Deceivers and seducers and deceivers, they're going to wax worse and worse being deceived. Which means you're going to have the largest generation of simple-minded fools that you've ever had on earth. So this generation is ever learning and thinks it's the smartest generation ever. According to God and the angels and the Bible, this is the most foolish, simple-minded, idiotic generation ever on the face of the earth. That's out of fashion, says a woman. Who said? Well, primetime television last night, just sit in front of it. What? Can you really be that foolish? What did the devil do in regard to Eve? You know what he did? He said, Eve, come here. I want you to take a look at this beautiful tree. It's good for food. It looks nice and appealing to you, doesn't it? Doesn't matter what Adam says about it. Doesn't matter what God says about it, but to you it looks appealing, right? Oh, but that's not what he... That wasn't the real bait. The real bait was this. Hey, Eve. Smart women eat of this tree. It says when she saw the tree and that it was good to make one wise, she ate of it. She wanted to be smart. Which means the devil, all he has to do to some simple-minded women, and if he did it to Eve, then every woman needs to be careful about this. All he has to do is say, if you're a smart woman, you dress this way. And listen to what the women say. I read a blog recently where these Mormon women that are in the news, all the women were getting upset and saying, look at this ridiculous, idiotic clothing. They can't be very intelligent. How interesting that every man, not even Christian men, every man had enough discernment to say, what makes them stupid? You're just following a bunch of homosexuals. And I said, now how interesting. None of the men laughed and mocked and said, that's ridiculous. Now, I think they could do something different. They could do other patterns, other style. But I'm telling you, in regard to the modesty, they had the respect of the unsaved men. It was amazing. But the women were following the AP. This equals ignorance. And they don't see, no, when you walk around half naked, that equals devil possession. There was a man who was not in his right mind and he was naked. When he was in his right mind, he was clothed. See? Mike Royko in the Chicago Sun-Times in 1979 said, year after year, a handful of suspicious-looking characters who call themselves clothing designers issue their commands. Wear your dress short and wear boots and look like a hooker. Now dress like a gypsy fortune teller. Now look like a farm wife. Now wear spike heels. Now show your thighs. And every time the pimps of fashion give the word, all these enlightened female persons obediently trudge to the clothing store. Second Timothy 3 predicted that this would be the state of things. It said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it goes on to say, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. How do they creep into houses? It must be by the airwaves. It must be by these magazines. And creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. What are they led away from? Modesty, holiness, purity. What are they? Are they led into liberty? No, they're led into captivity to fashion. Now they have to spend all their money jumping when they say jump. This has been understood about women. And I'm not calling all women simple-minded. I promise you. But I am showing you that there is a danger that you need to be aware of. And good Christian women in all ages understood this danger. A lady who wrote Woman, Her Dignity and Sphere in 1870 from the American Tract Society is going to explain what I'm talking about. She says, the fear of ridicule, while it is keenly felt by children and youth, does not exclusively belong to them. You know, peer pressure. It is very possible that as mothers, we are still under its baneful influence. Doing as others do. Dressing as others dress. So you don't want your child to do what he saw some child in the park doing. You don't want your child to do necessarily what his cousin down the road's doing. You understand that? Well, demonstrate it then. Let mama demonstrate it to her child. Say, notice me, I don't walk by peer pressure. I don't do what the daughters of the land do. You see that? Because I follow what God says. So I'm showing you not to follow the fashions of this world. If they say, listen to some sick, vile rock band, you say, no, that's ridiculous. Why would I go do a thing like that? And I'm going to show you by rejecting the fashions of this world. Woman, as being the more sensitive, is certainly the most subject to the fear of ridicule. Hence, she requires a more unwearied diligence. God made you extra sensitive. That's why you're nicer than men. That's why the Bible says that women are more apt to be holy than men are. You say, where is that? It's in Romans 1. It says even their women went bad. That shows you two things. It shows you male authority, even their women. Number two, it shows you even their women went bad, showing that a woman is more apt to be holy and virtuous than a man is. They're more sensitive. However, this sensitivity also opens them up to manipulation if they don't watch. You understand? So a woman needs to watch and make sure she's not manipulated by the fashion industry, controlled by the homosexuals, Rockefellers, whoever it might be. You say, how am I going to stand up? Well, a woman's got to be bold. We're saying you can't be a weak, timid woman led around by your nose by the fashion pimps. You've got to be a strong woman and stand up, take a stand for God and say, I do not care what man thinks about me. Mock all you want. Call me whatever you want. There's a lot of guys that think I'm beautiful. And the most important thing is God thinks I'm beautiful. And if you took a poll about the matter, I believe the majority of men would say, I'm dressed better than you harlots are dressed. That's the absolute truth. You go to any church and you take a poll of the men to say, give me the top three women who are dressed the best, the most graceful, the most beautiful, the one you'd be more inclined to open the door for. And you would be surprised at the difference between what the women say and what the men say. That's why you got to ask women sometime, who are you dressing for? Are you dressing for your friend? Or are you dressing for me? I think this is pretty. Well, you want me to be out of fashion? No, I want you to be pretty. I want you to be what God wants you. I want you to be a royal queen on a throne. The devil wants you to be a harlot. A cheap harlot. So you got to be bold, ladies. 1 Peter 3 says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. What does that mean? You don't have a hissy fit. You don't bite your fingernails and say, but I'm so afraid to go against what the world says. I got a burqa on. I mean, I'm going, no, settle down and quit getting so emotional. Be a strong woman. Nobody's put the burqa on you. We're saying be a modest, royal queen of a woman. But I'm so afraid to go against the MTV generation. Why? You're afraid to go against a moronic, repulsive, sick generation? What's so attractive about this generation of harlots and sodomites? What is it that causes it? Who are you trying to impress? You need to be a strong woman like Sarah that was bold and not afraid to do what God wanted her to do, even if she has to go contrary to everybody else. Let me give you some quick history of the 20th century. According to the preachers, by the time you get to 1920, some horrible things had happened. You read of Isaac Haldeman, who says this jazz music and this immodest dancing is turning America into savage jungles. Gertrude Atherton in the New York Times in 1921, show you how quick this happened. Oh, Gertrude says, is there a decline in American morals? Think of the towns that are passing laws forbidding high heels, short skirts, and transparent blouses. She says, see, the moral police are everywhere we turn. She's being sarcastic, friend. There were laws being passed all over the place because something had happened in America. The women were dressing like prostitutes and men. So she said, it is a curious superstition that when a nation begins to dance, its downfall is at hand. What the preachers were saying, if the women continue in this jazz music and dancing around like animals, like they're in some jungle with no clothes on, if the women continue in this, it's going to lead to a sexual revolution that is going to basically bring fornication to our teens. And when you have fornication, it leads to homosexuality. And finally, homosexuality leads to greater perversion. And finally, when it gets down to the bottom and even their women go bad, God says, enough's enough. And God wipes it out. So the preachers were saying, don't do this. You're going to destroy our country. But old Gertrude, New York Times were saying, oh, you guys just need to hug. Remember what Lot, when he tried to say judgment's coming, how they said, oh, you know, he looked as one that mocked. They thought he was like one that mocked. Here's an Episcopal pastor in 1920. Philip M. Rhinelander. Philip M. Rhinelander says, we won the war, but seemingly we lost all that we were fighting for. So quickly after the war, 1 or 2 years, the women went crazy. The Bible says if there's no magistrate in the land, the people dwell carelessly. So many men died or were maimed in World War I that it left a vacuum. When you read about what happened over in Britain, what happened here in America, when you read about how the women didn't have husbands anymore, they started buying these dime store novels that were so sick and vile, and they started reading these fantasy novels. They started dressing in immorality. They started dressing like little boys. And what ended up happening was they called them the Amazon women because you had, for the first time, the greatest outbreak of homosexuality ever among women. 1920s. The grief brought a revival of spiritualism. When people are hurting because of people they love are dead, the devil shows up and says, would you like to talk to your husband? So occultism, they turn to the demonic. You had the greatest revival of occultism in Germany and in America that the world had ever seen. You had a short revival after the Civil War, and it got beaten back down. And now, after World War I, people were turning to the occult again. So you had an occult-led, homosexual, feminist agenda in the 1920s. A new type of fashion appeared. Ruth Adam, in A Woman's Place, tells us the women of the 20s began to look masculine. Up until 1923, skirts were still only just above the ankles. By 1927, the knees were shown. The new ideal was androgyny. Girls strove to look as much like boys as possible. There was nothing to distinguish a young woman from a schoolboy. Now, they wanted to look like boys not to entice men, but to entice other women. Even Even today, the homosexuals have control of the fashion industry. But it began in the 1920s. Versace was a sodomite. He designed the skin-tight, low-cut, high-slit designs that are so popular today. But I want to show you something that's interesting. What do you see? You see a war that is occurring. The devil makes his move, and God's people rise up and stand against it and close the gap. Wherever there's a breach, they close the gap and they drive it back. And they say, not on my turf, not in my day. And men of God stand up. Well, the devil attacks the next generation. Well, what happened when he attacked in the 20s like this? When you get to the 1930s, the next generation of girls said, no, no, no more. Mama, shame on you, Mama. And you had a revival of traditional values in the 1930s. Not in Hollywood. Don't go to 1930, because Hollywood was still trying to reclaim. I'm talking about in the mainstream world. In the 1930s, they viewed the Amazon woman of the 1920s as a monster. One cartoon in 1930 shows a young woman in a beautiful, delightful dress in a magazine. And she has a mama with her leg flipped up over the sofa, dressed like a flapper. And the daughter says, in 1930, to her mama, I wish you weren't so modern, mother. It's terribly out of date. In some ways, this is happening in our world today, as there's a return to homeschooling, to modesty, to traditional values. And there's some mothers that grew up in the 70s that are saying, what's happening to my daughter? How can you be so unfashionable? And they're saying, Mama, you're out of date. See. Femininity came back to some degree in the 1930s. Birth rates began to shoot up again. Marriages began to shoot up. Then what did you get? World War II. Boy, the devil certainly wants war, doesn't he? Because he can accomplish his goal. So this time, World War II hit. They got to do something. But something else happened. Enough men returned home. And I'm not exactly sure why it was different. But enough men came back home to where you had a return back to homemaking after World War II. After World War I, the bottom fell out. After World War II, you had some type of a revival. Now, you did have Elvis the Pelvis and all of that mess. But if you read, there was a revival of homemaking like never before in the 1950s after World War II. Okay, so you have decades fighting. 20s as Satan's decade. 30s as the traditional morals trying to come back. The 40s, Satan's decade. Then the 50s, you have women returning to housewifery. You have the birth rate. Women say, I just want to be in the kitchen. I just want to be a homemaker. So what happened? The 60s, Satan launches a new attack with Betty Friedan. That's the woman there in your handout. So Betty Friedan launches her attack through the communists. Let me show you what happened in the 30s. We've gone through the 60s and how Betty Friedan tried to convince women, you're miserable. Let me show you what happened in the 30s. Fanny Hurst warns return to the kitchen is backsliding. Do you see this? 1934, New York Times. What was happening? The Roaring Twenties, the Monster Women, the Amazon Women. 1930s, they said no more of this. We're tired of looking like men. We're tired of looking like some androgynous monster. We want to be ladies, feminine, beautiful. So Fanny Hurst is trying to do something. Who is she speaking before? She is a novelist. She told women at a luncheon of the fashion group that we need to do something. You fashion designers need to do something quickly. We're losing all of the ground that we gained. Bettina Bedwell, a Paris fashion designer, correspondent, forecast a greater change in women's style. They're saying, don't worry, we're going to launch an attack. They believe that by changing the garment, they can change the attitude of the ladies. Victor Steibel, a London designer of women's clothes, explained, a smartly dressed woman is smart the world over. What's he saying? What did the devil say to Eve? Smart women eat of this tree. And when she saw that it was a tree that could make one wise, she took of it and ate. What is this fact? The devil hasn't changed in 6,000 years. What's he saying? These fashion designers are standing up, and it's as if Lucifer is speaking. Don't worry, we have a plan. It looks like things are going bad. Don't worry. Smart women will dress the way we tell. And that's what they did. They began to advertise, if you're a smart, sophisticated woman, you're no longer on the farm. If you're a smart, sophisticated woman, you'll dress immodestly and like a boy. There was a good article that came out about one night ago, May 31st. It was by Patrice Lewis. I sent her an email and told her what a good article this was. She's a new columnist for WorldNet Daily. She seems to be a very sweet lady, but here's what she says. I replaced her word with lascivious. Lascivious six-year-olds. It was a hot summer day in 2002 when I decided to buy sandals for our 4 and 6-year-old daughters. But after going to 11 different stores, I still couldn't find anything even remotely suitable. Why? Because every pair of sandals I found, every single pair had high heels. High heels for a 4-year-old? Apparently, girls' sandals aren't meant for running and jumping and playing. They're meant to make little girls look like tarts. That means harlot. As a mother of daughters, I am horrified by the constant attempt to pre-sexualize my girls. Even though we homeschool and don't have television reception, everywhere we turn, there is something that reminds us that 6-year-old girls should be lascivious. I had been telling, well, they want to get them while they're young. I had been telling my mother for many years how awful girls' fashions are. Like many of the older generation, my mother thought I was exaggerating until the day she took my girl shopping. Mom decided that it might be better to sew the girl some clothes. So they went to a fabric store and looked at patterns. Even the patterns were trashy, she related in wonder. Sure, we can blame a lot of things. Society, the fashion industry, Hollywood, public schools. Pick one. But what it boils down to is you, the parent, allowing it. Yes, allowing it. She's sick of parents saying, what can I do? Their friends do it and they want to dress that way. Well, you have power to choose their friends. But they see them at school. You have power to take them out of school. But they'll see it on TV. You've got power to turn the TV off or throw it out in the yard. But they have posters. Rip them off the wall. Our oldest daughter will be 13 in a few months. We would never allow her to have a boyfriend, put trashy posters on her bedroom wall, and dress like a harlot. Remember that word allow. I've heard some parents say they can't stop it. Hogwash. It's parents who are permitting inappropriate clothing, toys, posters and music into their home. What we're saying is if daddies and mamas would stand up, all the money in the world in this $1 billion, 5 corporation, homosexual conglomerates, all the money in the world could not control your children. My children never desire one stinking movie. They never desire one stinking fashion that's out here. And any little trickles that they might see at Walmart, and if it happens too much, I won't go to Walmart anymore. But if you raise them right, they'll go to Walmart and say, I don't like it. That's yucky. Daddy, look at that. How disgusting. We control our children. It's parents who are permitting it. It's time to get tough on your kids and recapture moral behavior. Stop allowing trash in your home. For crying out loud, be the parent. Resume authority. Praise God for some bold women out there that are saying what needs to be said. Genesis 35, Jacob said unto his household when he got revival and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. You know, like the fashion god. And be clean. Because that's what a lot of this stuff is, just pure dirtiness. That's filthy dressing. And change your garments. He didn't like the way they were dressing. Filthy garments. Trashy, whore-like, harlot garments. And let us arise and go to Bethel. Before he went to the house of God, he got right. See, we got to get sanctified. We need to dress right before we go to the house of God. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. What is the motivation? Y'all listen here as I close. What's the motivation for Jacob changing the garments of his household? The motivation is God has been good to me. I'm not a drunk anymore. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a fornicator. I'm not a reprobate. I'm saved, bought by the blood of Jesus. Jacob is saying, God's been so merciful to me. Change your clothes. We're going to get revival. I wonder if God's done anything for you. I wonder if you were filthy before you got saved. I wonder what you were before Jesus had mercy upon your life. I wonder what God's done for you. In return to God, what should you do? Should you continue to dress like the world, or should you say, Lord, oh God, thank you for having mercy upon me. I want to be what you want me to be, not what the world wants me to be. Paul argues just this way. He says, I beseech you. I'm arguing with you, brethren, by the mercies of God. That means on the basis of the mercies of God. I'm arguing with you, brethren, on the basis of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. What's he saying? He's saying it's reasonable that if God's been so merciful to you, it's reasonable that you would not conform to the fashion of this world. That you would come out of this homosexual fashion agenda that wants to pervert the ladies. And you will dress differently. You'll come out of this short skirt, slit skirt, no shoulder, all of this mess that came from the world. And that you'll instead be a classy, godly, pure, graceful, royal-looking woman. It's going to begin in your heart. It's going to begin in your heart, or it won't begin at all. People say, well, I think the heart matters. I agree. Amen. You're never dressed right if you don't get right in your heart. Amen. Well, God just looks on the heart. I know He does. And until your heart gets right, you won't dress right. Jesus says, for every tree is known by his fruit. You don't have to break open the bark and see what type of inner bark is in the tree to find out. You just look at the fruit. I know what type of tree this is. Look at the fruit. I know what's in your heart by what you wear. I know the degree that you serve God and the degree you serve this world by what you wear. It's not an absolute guide because you can dress holy and still lack discretion. But it at least shows that you got one part of your life right. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. All that saying is this. Christians have understood it for years. A good woman that wants to be holy will dress like that. Paul said, dress modestly like women that profess godliness. A good woman, if she has a good heart, will want to dress right. She don't want to entice men. She may have played that little game of loving to see those men have to look, you know. And that was how she got value in this world. But when her heart gets right, she says, I only want my husband to glance at me. I want every other man to see me as a graceful, beautiful sister. Royal Path of Life says a modest woman will dress modestly. Dress is the husk of the body, but the husk generally tells what the kernel is. Quotes like that can be multiplied from Spurgeon and all the great preachers. It's just absolutely true. Let's pray. Holy God, oh Lord, I pray that You'll call some folks listening to this sermon today, wherever they may be, in this house, Lord, I pray You call them to be bold and take a stand for You, Father. Oh, it's by the blood of Jesus that You've saved us, God, forgiven us for such wicked lives. Thank You, God, for having mercy upon us. Lord, we see that You hate the world, and friendship with the world's enmity with You, Lord. I pray the women of this church, Lord, where people already say there's something different about them, there's something beautiful and graceful about them. Oh God, but I pray that it'll increase more and more, Father, that we'd have the most gracious, beautiful, graceful, queenly women in all the land. That we'd raise virtuous daughters that are clothed in tapestry and beautiful garments. But Lord, that the adorning is more of the heart that wants to serve You and love You. Let men be bold. Let women be bold to do what's right in these last days, Holy God. Bless our lunch together, Father. We love You and we thank You for the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.